today is found in the Gospel of Matthew and likewise in the Gospel of Luke. In the 8th chapter of Matthew, we have an account of the same event that took place in Luke 7. These two do not agree. They differ. In the one, Matthew, we find that Matthew recalls that the centurion came himself to Christ. But in Luke, we find that the centurion sent the elders of the Jews to Jesus. The commentary gives us a little explanation, but it doesn't satisfy our minds. Matthew Henry says that these Jews were used as proxies for the centurion to speak unto Christ, just like a lawyer defends his client. He is the mouthpiece for his client. But we will take the 7th chapter of Luke, in which we find that after Christ had finished speaking unto the people and the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. I've spoke to you several times about this city that was the residence of Christ, that he dwelt there mostly in the house of Peter. And we find him again now entering into this city, Capernaum. And now when he came into this city of Capernaum, why, we read that there was a centurion who had a servant who was dear unto him, but who was sick, ready to die. A centurion was a commander of 100 soldiers. In many places in the Bible, we read about centurions. We have an account of one at the cross of Christ. When Christ died on the cross, there was a great earthquake. In the temple at Jerusalem, we find that the veil was rent from the top to the bottom. We have at this instance a centurion seeing these things taking place, and he says, truly, this was the Son of God. We have another centurion in the book of Acts called Cornelius. He was a centurion over the Italian band. He was a God-fearing man. He was a man that prayed much and that likewise offered up much alms unto the people. This centurion, he likewise was blessed with a visit by God from an angel and likewise from Peter coming down to his home and being given to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Centurions we read of in the book of Acts. Likewise, Paul had to do with centurions many times. When they took him prisoner, when likewise he was carried away from the country where he had been laboring in and put upon a boat to be taken to Rome, he was given into the hands of a centurion who had charge of all the soldiers upon the boat and all the prisoners that were upon this boat. This centurion, likewise, was a commander of 100 soldiers. He was stationed in Capernaum. The Jews, they were under the power and under the dominion of the Romans, who had taken in their country. They had taken in many nations, the Romans, but they never had taken in a nation that was so troublesome as the Jews were. These Jewish people, they did not think that these Romans should be in their country, and they wanted them out. And they were waiting for the Messiah to come to deliver them from under the servitude and under the power of the Romans. And they hated the Romans. They had a bitter enmity against the Romans. And these Romans, they likewise hated the Jews, because they had to put so many soldiers into the land of Israel to keep them down. They were always rebelling, always standing up against the Romans, just like in our times. It isn't any different. In the nation today, we have so many that are rebelling against the authorities and against the police and doing things that are inconsistent. So the Jewish people were at that time, and the Romans had to keep them under. And of course, they had to show that they were the boss. And of course, the Jews didn't like this. They hated them. They despised them. But here we have a centurion stationed in Capernaum, a man that likewise was a Roman, a Gentile, an uncircumcised person. And he had charge over this city, and likewise he had 100 soldiers under his command. Now, this centurion was entirely different than other Roman centurions. What made him different? The grace of God. Now, this man, he by his kindness, by his liberality, by his humanity, he gave much to the poor people in Capernaum. He was wealthy, he was rich. Not only was he rich and wealthy, but he had a heart to give. You got to have that too. And this is what he had. Whenever he seen poor people in extremity and distress, he would relieve them. And this man, he likewise was loved by the Jewish people for what he was doing. Not only was he loved and respected by the Jews, but he was loved and respected by the soldiers under his command. They honored him. They obeyed him. They did that which was good before him. But this man, this centurion then, he showed in his acts and in his life that there was another spirit in him. What a blessing, my hearers. Today, it is entirely different. We have masters, we have employers, and they have employees. And oh, it's sad to say, but so many employees, they want to be the master. They want to be the employer. They want to dictate to their employer how that they should run their plants. And this, of course, doesn't go. We find that many people rebel and stand up against their employer. And of course, the employer, he has a heart just like they have. And they likewise begin to treat their employees in the most miserable way. This didn't take place in Capernaum. This man, he was loved and respected by those under whose authority they were. These soldiers, they liked their commander. And now he had a servant who was dear unto him, but who was likewise sick and nigh unto death, ready to die. He had a servant then who was dear unto him. That meant that he loved his servant, that he valued this servant. This servant had gained the honor and respect of this centurion. He was obedient unto him. What he did to this centurion, it doesn't say. Maybe he was his valet. Maybe he waited on him hand and foot. He seen too that his necessities was taken care of. And this centurion, he liked him. He valued him. And now when he got sick, this troubled him greatly. He was concerned about this servant. It looked as if he was going to lose him. And now, he had heard so many times of what Jesus had done. Jesus lived in Capernaum, and he had healed so many people. He had delivered them by just speaking the word. And this centurion, he had probably read the Bible, the Old Testament. And from this, he had gathered so much that God had chosen these Jewish people as his people. And he had given them his word, his oracles. He had given them the ordinances that they had and the worship that they had. And he had been influenced by the Spirit of God in reading this. And he likewise became attached to the God of Israel. He had grace in his soul, and this grace went out to this God, And now in Capernaum there was no synagogue to worship God. And this centurion, I said, was rich. Now in love to God, in love to his people, he built the Jews a synagogue to worship God in, where he himself went into likewise and attended. But this is likewise another miracle. Considering a military man in many temptations in military life to be a God-fearing commander and to hold his piety and to show it in every way and in every respect. He probably was ridiculed and laughed at by others, but this didn't change him. This centurion then, loving this servant and hearing of Jesus, he sent unto Jesus the elders of the Jews. Not just ordinary Jews, but Jews that were in authority, Jews that were rulers. Now this is another miracle. That this man had won the love and the respect of the Jews. They were prejudiced. They were haters of the Romans. And now they didn't even care about Jesus. They hated him. And now this centurion, he requested these Jews to go to Jesus. And they didn't refuse. Oh, no. They respected him and loved him because he had done what he did. He had likewise shown his love to the people, that he had built them a synagogue, and they in return thought, we can do this for you. We will do this for you. So we have then the elders of the Jews going to Jesus. And when they came to Jesus, they immediately beseeched him that he would go down to heal the servant of this centurion, because he is worthy that thou shouldst do this to him, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. This is what they said unto Christ. They said he was worthy. I don't think that this centurion ever would have came to Christ and said that he was worthy that he should do this. You'll never find a living soul, a person that has the grace of God in his heart, coming to God and thinking that he's worthy. We try to make ourselves worthy, it is true. We try to build up certain walls of righteousness and make ourselves acceptable to God, but God breaks it down. We again and again must come as unworthy creatures. This centurion, he sent these Jews, and this is the way they honored him. They respected him for what he had done. And now Jesus, when he heard these Jews speaking in this way, he said, I will come down and heal him. Now in Matthew, it says that the centurion came himself and beseeched Christ to heal his servant. He didn't ask him to go down to his house. He didn't ask him to put any plaster on the wound or any medicine or anything of the kind. And neither did these Jews. They just asked him to come down to heal this servant. Now Jesus knew this centurion. He knew what was going on in his heart, and he was willing to go down to the house of this centurion. And now this teaches us, if you have anyone in your family, anyone that's near and dear to you, that's close to you, even if you may be an employer, one that is sick, nigh unto death, what a blessing to come to Christ with this affliction. He has said, the whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And he is still the same physician as he was what I'm speaking about when he was here upon earth. And what a mercy if we can come to Christ in prayer, in truth, and in uprightness, in faith. And surely he most certainly will hear and answer and bless the party for whom we have been coming. It's a mercy to come for some of our friends. for some of those who we know who are dear to us. So it was with this centurion. He sent these elders of the Jews for this reason. And Christ, he was willing to come. And now when he started to go down to the house of this centurion, why, some of these Jews, they must have ran ahead to tell the centurion that Jesus was coming. And when he heard that, this was too much for this man. He, a heathen, a Gentile, he, a Roman, that Jesus should come to his house. He wasn't worthy that Jesus should come to his house. He wasn't worthy himself that he should go to Jesus. Therefore, he had sent these soldiers to him. And now when he heard that Jesus was coming, this was too much. He knew Jesus was the Lord. He knew that he was God and man in one person. He believed this. He had read so much of him and he had heard so much of him, and it had taken such an effect upon his heart that for him to come to him, this was too much. And he knew too that he had but to speak the word and it would be done. He had done that so often to so many that were healed. And therefore, he sends these Jews back with the word that Jesus should not trouble himself to come to his house, for he was not worthy that he should come under the roof of his house, but that he should but speak the word and he would be healed. This man, the centurion, had wonderful faith, my hearers. He had faith to believe that Jesus was God and man, and that he had but to speak the word, and he would be made whole. He didn't need to come into the house. He didn't have to stretch his hands out over his servant. He didn't have to put any plaster or any medicine. All he had to do was to speak the word, and he would be made well. How many of my hearers have such faith? How many believe that if he but speak one word, that your soul will be healed? Are you exercising this way? Are there any in my audience that are saying inside, "Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. I believe if you speak, my soul will be healed"? Where does this faith come from? This is a gift of God. This is what this centurion had. This faith was not just a miraculous faith. It was not just a temporary faith. It was not just a historical faith, but it was true, saving faith that this centurion had. This faith, which was an exercise in the heart of this centurion, revealed itself in his unworthiness. Oh, my hearers, to be unworthy is to be unfit. To be that you don't have any merit, any value, any reasons in you why that the Lord should do anything for you. The greater your faith may be, the greater your unworthiness will be, because it brings you so close to God. When faith in God, in Christ, in the Holy Ghost is reigning in a sinner's breast, then God is reigning there, and that person can't get low enough. How many have experienced something like this? Oh, to feel to be but dust and ashes like Abraham when he went to speak unto God. To be brought down as nothing in the sight of this great and glorious and divine being. This centurion, he felt in his very heart that he was unworthy that this should be done for him. But he had but to speak the word and it would be done. In this, he likewise put these Jews to shame. These Jews, they said he was worthy. But the centurion, He said he was not worthy. He sent him back with that word. And now when Jesus heard this, what the centurion had said, he turned around to them that followed him and said unto them, I have not found such great faith, no, not in Israel. He marveled at the faith of this centurion, Jesus did. He knew it was there. He was the author of it. He had put it there, or it never would have been there. But to find it in a centurion, in a Roman, in a Gentile, this made Christ marvel. He said he had not found such faith, no, not in Israel. You know, Israel had been gifted of God as giving unto them his word, his commandments. Their whole religious system had been given by God to them. And if any were likely to have faith, they were the people, because they had been born and brought up under the instructions of their religion. But here was a Roman. He had no connection whatsoever with God. He was not of the seed of Abraham, and he had not been born and brought up under the Jewish religion. He knew nothing about it. But here, a Roman, a Gentile, reveals greater faith than anyone that was in Israel, even greater than his own disciples. This was a marvel to Jesus himself, that this man came out the way he did, that he had such strong faith in the word of Jesus. All he had to do was to speak the word. Oh, my hearers, have you ever experienced the power of the word of Christ? Has he ever spoken to you? Have you ever been given faith to believe in what he said to you? Have you ever hung on to it and believed it? And have you seen it fulfilled in your experience? What a mercy, my hearers, to have this blessed grace, faith, planted in our souls. It's a token that we are of those who God has chosen from before the foundation of the world, who God loves, who God favors. This faith, my hearers, does not grow by nature, and we cannot manufacture it. We cannot make our own faith great. It is God that makes this faith strong. He is the author, the finisher of our faith. So it was in the heart of this centurion. He had such strong faith that Christ said he had not seen or heard such faith in Israel. Oh, my hearers, this man, the centurion, was then recommended by Christ, commended for his faith. See what Christ was looking for? Faith. Oh, what a precious grace, my hearers. Irrespective of how small it may be in any one of you, even if it be like the grain of a mustard seed, it's something that God has planted there, and he will make it grow. This centurion, he likewise desired Christ that he would heal his servant. But Christ turned around to these Jews that were following him, and he spake unto them, and said unto them, many shall come from the east and from the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A glorious promise, my hearers, for the Gentiles. Christ himself, when he was here on earth, said they would come from the east and from the west. That meant that many, like this Gentile, would be given to come, would become the children of God, would have the same faith as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had. They would be brought under the kingdom of grace here on earth and would be given to enter into heaven. Oh, this is a wonderful promise, my hearers. Christ in chapter 7 spoke likewise that few find the way of life. Few. Here he says many. All many, my hearers, of the Gentiles. And all, when we read in the Revelations and in some of the apostles, they speak of that glorious day when they shall be gathered before Christ. Oh, then we read there will be, Jesus will come with 10,000s of his saints to judge here upon earth. Then we read of whole nations that have been saved by him. They shall be gathered to the right hand of God. Oh, there will be such a tremendous number of people out of the east and out of the west. Oh, God has his people, all of us. In the four corners of this world he has his elect, and they will be gathered and be brought in. All my hearers, will you be one of them? That should be a question, a searching question for you and I. Am I one of those Gentiles that Jesus is speaking about? Many will come from the east and from the west, and they shall sit down with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Have you ever stopped to think what that will be? To be in heaven? To be delivered from sin, from all things here below, and to sit down in rest, in peace, and enjoy the presence of God forever and ever. Oh, what a glorious eternity that will be, my hearers. For Gentile sinners like you and I are, oh, there is hope then for many, even amongst the Gentiles. God still sends his gospel out and calls unto Gentiles, repent ye, for wherefore will ye die? Oh, may God give that many in my midst may be given to repent. May as a Gentile come in your unworthiness, as this centurion felt himself to be, and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. All these Jewish people were told and warned that Gentiles would enter in, and they, the children of the kingdom, would be cast out. And they were cast out, my hearers. They were cast out into outer darkness. All the Gentiles were in darkness. They had not the word of God. They had no teaching of God or anything of the kind. But God cast the Jewish people out into the darkness of the Gentiles. He cast them out from his presence. They became wanderers over the earth. They are without God. They are a people who are without God, without Christ, and without any hope in this world. These Jewish people who had been so blessed with God's presence, and who had led them from Egypt to Canaan and had been in their midst, they, by their unbelief, were rejected and cast out. And the Gentiles, they became the children of the kingdom. Oh, my hearers, they would be cast out into outer darkness, which goes a little further than this darkness that I'm talking about. That means the darkness of hell. That place of which we read there is a fire, but there is no light. A fire which shall burn forever and ever. The indignation, the wrath of God shall come down upon every one that dies in their unbelief. What a terrible eternity that will be. Oh, there, my hearers, there will be so many. Oh, there are many in our times, too, who are called professors of religion. Many believe because their parents have made a profession of religion, and they're born in the church and they're baptized, that they are the children of the covenant. And oh, they only have that, my hearers, they likewise will be cast out. Building upon that for eternity is too short, my hearers. Oh, then they will experience likewise the gnashing of teeth, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, what an awful eternity. There will be so many floods of tears which will be of no avail, which will never give them any comfort. Oh, there will be grief, inexplainable. Such grief, my hearers, when they see those whom they knew entering into happiness, and when they start to reflect, I could have went there. I rejected it. I wouldn't have any part of it. This will be something in their minds and in their souls which will burn forever and ever. Oh, what an awful eternity that will be, my hearers. I pray that not one of you that listen to me will ever enter into that terrible place. Oh, we are yet in the day of salvation. We are yet in the time of grace. Oh, seek the Lord, my hearers. Call upon him. He is a gracious God. He has no delight in the death and in the destruction of any one of us. He pleads with sinners to return unto him. Oh, what a beautiful place heaven is going to be, my hearers. Oh, there every one that has been given that faith that the centurion had will be given to enter in. Oh, there will be some probably who we never expected to see there. And there will be those who we thought that were going to be there are not there. But the most important thing is, will I be there? It's a personal matter for each and every one of us. Jesus speaks. Many will come. Are you coming? Do you need Christ? Do you long for him? Are you in secret sometimes and begging him to reveal himself to you, that you feel that if you go on as the way you are and you die without him, you will be lost forever? Oh, do you cry unto him, Lord Jesus, reveal thyself to my soul. Hide not thyself any longer. Make thyself known unto me. How many souls here are longing in this respect? You know, the longing soul, he will satisfy in due time. It may last a long time, it may last a lifetime, but he fulfills his word. He keeps his word is true. The centurion wanted him to speak but one word, and he believed that the servant would be made whole. And we read in Matthew 8 that he said unto the centurion, go thy way. Be it unto thee as thou hast believed. The centurion went down to the house, and he found that his servant had been healed that very same hour. It doesn't say that in Luke. It just says that they that came to Christ returned, and they found that he was well, he was made whole. I like it better that Christ said it to the centurion, because he speaks to him, as thou hast believed, so be it unto you. And as it has been with you, my hearers, so if you have been given to believe, even once in your lifetime, that God has a favor to you, and it has been given from God in your very heart, your belief will never be made ashamed of. He will honor that because it's his own work. You will be given likewise to sit down in heaven above with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, my hearers, what a precious grace faith is, and how necessary to have this grace. And if you have, as I said, even a mustard seed of it, it teaches you to come to God with this prayer, Lord, increase my faith. Because you have found that you cannot increase it. And that is such a strengthening, it's such a comforting grace. It lifts us above ourselves and brings us to the throne of God. It gives us to see the faithfulness, the love, the kindness, the pity, the compassion of this God towards sinners. And we believe this. If it be only for a few moments, how sweet it is for your own personal soul. Oh, you swim sometimes in the love and the pity and the compassion of God towards yourself. Have you ever been there? Have you wondered yourself away in your unworthiness that this God would have anything to do with such the likes of you? This being unworthy, my hearers, is such a blessing. Oh, to feel yourself as the greatest of sinners and to see God as that great and glorious and divine being who is unchangeable, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who keepeth his word unto a thousand generations. If you have one word from him, hang on it. Bring it before him. Remind him of it. Speak to him about it. And say, Lord, thou hast said it. Oh, do fulfill it. This centurion, he surely must have been glad with what Christ done for him. This servant, who he was, we know not. We don't read anything of this servant. We don't read that he sent him to Christ. In all probabilities, this palsy that he had bereft him even of his senses. He was in such a terrible condition that he was ready to die. And he was brought back. He was spared. All this teaches us, let us storm the throne of grace, for we have a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God. He's wonderful in his ways with sinners. He was wonderful when he was here upon earth. He answered the prayer and the request of this centurion. And he likewise still answers and hears the request of those who come to him by faith. He never, never turns down their request. Oh, may we all be given by the grace of God to storm his throne and find him to be a prayer-hearing, a prayer-answering God for our immortal souls. The Lord bless my feeble explanation this day of his word to your hearts. That's all.